Well, brother, there's not only question and answers, it's comments. And the second session proved to be livelier than even last night, as you predicted, brother. So who knows what we're in for now. But here we go. Brother Larry.
This first statement is written to the local church and also the worldwide church. Is that correct?
Go ahead again. I didn't hear you. Well, it doesn't say everywhere. It says every...
With all of you in every place.
Every place. We're going to talk about that in our next message.
Oh, that's a good
It's written to... A local church, but all local churches
okay.
are to go by it.
It's a local
church epistle.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Brother Larry's asking, how do we put this into practice? If there's an inside and an outside, then what is our responsibility inside to know the people? When should they be put out and who does it? And I'm paraphrasing this question. And in what way is it done? 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, Larry and brothers, let all things be done decently and in order. God's a God of order. You will see in the Corinthian assembly, it is not the elders who put out. It is not an individual put out. It is the assembly. I'll remind you of verse 4. When the whole church be gathered together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, then he goes on to say, deliver such a one to Satan. So it's a function of the family unit, the organism as a whole. It's not, well, I'll put him out, but the other brother says, I'll receive him. You'd have nothing but schisms and chaos. Now, to be able to do that, just like in a family, Larry, it takes communication. And that's what I see lacking in many assemblies today. In other words, if a person is going to be put out, those who are leading the assembly, the elders, need to stand up because the assembly is acting as a whole. We've investigated. We've found this and such. And therefore, if that person is to be put out, all have to know it because you can't eat with them. So if I can't eat with them and I don't know it, so it takes communication. I had the privilege of being raised in an assembly who had that right in line. When somebody came in, they stood up and they announced it. So you knew to have confidence in that person. They say, we receive. And if you know any reason that person shouldn't be received, come to us now. We're praying about it for a couple of weeks. And if you knew of a double life, they're living in sin, and your responsibility was to go to those men and say, look, I work with that person. Let me tell you what they do after hours. You have a responsibility there. Okay, but if you don't have any input, like any communication, then a lot of things are done. So I have seen that God's a God of order. It's to be done when the assembly is gathered together. And so there has to be communication, and you have to act as a whole. And our responsibility would be to not cover that sin, but to make it known. At the same time, when that person's forgiven, Larry, 2 Corinthians 2 would be to confirm your love for them and say, well, hey, receive them back, but I don't trust them. Well, you forgive. You they're forgiven, and you confirm your love for them. So there would be a practical... That becomes very difficult. They grow cold. Maybe they show up once in a while, you mean? Yeah, are they in fellowship or not? Well, they're obviously, if they're saved, they're in a positional fellowship with the Lord, but there's no practical expression. Now, you're asking a very difficult question that would require the wisdom of God, and the elders would have to look at the pulse of the whole situation and go before God. In other words, when do we approach this person and say, are you with us or not? If they're growing cold, I'll put it this way, and they're staying away and showing up once every 2 months, usually, that's the tip of an iceberg. Usually, it's just not that they're lazy. Usually, there's other things, whether doctrinally or moral, that have crept in. But the shepherds need to have care. Individually, we need to find out. Need to pay that brother a visit, that sister a visit. So there's no rule of when you say, but you have to find out the situation. Maybe they're just a herding sheep. Maybe they're disillusioned, depressed. These things have to be investigated, and they should, like a shepherd and a sheep. You know, when you have a sheep missing, he goes finds it. Yeah, so there's no hard rule there, but you have to move toward knowing what to do, I would think. Okay, bro? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a short comment.
Yes, brother.
You mentioned the third attempt. Consider
it here. Where is the balance? Is that what you're saying? Where is the balance? Men have abused it. Men have gone liberal. Men have gone ultra-conservative. You reminded me as you spoke, brother, of as God charged Israel under the law. He says, don't go to the left and don't go to the right. Don't take away, don't add to it. Going to the left today we call liberal. Going to the right, ultra-conservative. You can damage God's words two ways. You can take away and say, that doesn't matter. Or you can add rules that God never added. And we have seen churches of God add rules for fellowship and bind people with things and disqualify them for things that God never condemned. But they didn't like them. Yeah, I've seen myself get in trouble for wearing a red shirt instead of a white shirt. You know, stuff like that. These are days gone by. Pink sweater, yeah. With some carnal brother in there, brother. Anyway, and then So we've seen things like that, the rules added by men, which are horrible. And then we've seen a reaction to that. They'll go to the left. Well, nothing really matters. We can't judge. The only balance of that is 1 Corinthians 1:10, which we'll look at in our next session. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing. By his authority, you have an honest heart. You go into the Word. What does he condemn? What does he condone? How does his wisdom address it? It takes prayer. It takes study. But it can be done. And if the Word doesn't condemn such an action, but it's one of those areas of patience and grace, and we need to give that. But if the Word condemns it, then we have to act on it. I think the only answer is not to our church tradition or how we feel. Honestly, searching the Scriptures. Sometimes we do that, and sometimes we don't. But there's the bounce. This Word is bounced. I see Barry and then Mark. I forget. Okay, Mark.
What accountability is there, if any, between from one local assembly to the other? Accountability as far as we're looking at item number 3 there about, well, church discipline and that type of thing.
Yes.
Or even with from another denomination, you know, mm-hmm. You see if something going on in the community or sin, you know that person is a member of such and such a church. Do we have any responsibility or accountability to go to their local group?
Yes, I hear you. I believe in many cases, he want to know if somebody is in our local assembly or church, they're somewhere else, what's the accountability there? Is there any interaction between local churches? And the answer is yes, there is, or should be. Now, we don't have authority in another local church. It's autonomous. The local elders answer to the head, the Lord Jesus. You notice in the 7 churches, they weren't asked to go to another church. They were answerable directly to the Lord. All right, so we don't have authority. But we do. If a person is put out of a local church, it would be a very confusing thing that he couldn't break bread and fellowship with the believers here and walk over next door and do it here. In other words, the way of the discipline would be never felt. And so he wrote unto the churches to receive Apollos. He wrote unto Achaia to receive him. There was communication. So if he's good enough for over here, he's good enough for over there. I can give you an experience, brother. We disciplined a brother. Back in New Jersey, who fell into immoral sin. And he refused the discipline. He walked out of the assembly. He left it. He moved up to New York and identified with a denomination because he knew he couldn't go to another assembly. We heard of that denomination. And our elders get their pen out and wrote the pastor the letter and said, brother so-and-so is living in this sin and he wouldn't submit to discipline. The pastor wrote us back. He said, thank you. We don't sin either. They approached that brother and said, you can't fellowship here either. He drove 300 miles back to our assembly and humbled himself and repented. Now, it doesn't always work that way. But there's only one body, okay? The local church is a representation of the truth of the one body. And there needs to be, again, unity among the churches that what is wrong in one is also wrong in another. And so I think that's a very... And we have a responsibility to deal with that sometimes.
Yeah, specific biblical reference that we might be able to point to in that situation.
Okay, in that specific situation, I'm thinking... I'm hard-pressed to think of when it might come to me, but I think we have the principle, such as Phoebe in Romans 16. They were to receive her because she was already received back at the home church. Romans 16, 1 and 2. I'm writing unto you I commend Sister Phoebe, receive her in the Lord. She could be received. Now, there's also Apollos, receive him, because he's worthy of being received. But now he writes to Timothy, and I know he's writing to an individual here, but go to 1 Timothy 1. And here's communication, brother, of that there's 2 men that have been delivered to Satan because of doctrinal error. And he communicated to Timothy, because Timothy was going among the churches and strengthening them. So these 2 men would not be trusted. So we do have communication. Now, I know you want even a little more specific example. It might come to me later.
1 Corinthians 5 says that, Randy.
I think. Yeah, go ahead, Art.
Because, you know, it's not written to just one church. It's written to all the churches.
Okay, there you go. It's not only written to the local church. It's written to all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So that letter, as it would be circulated, that man would be known. Also, the 7 letters of the 7 churches of Asia, those letters... That was each church got the same 7 messages addressed to itself. So every church would know about the problem with the other one, that it displeased the Lord also. So it wasn't like one letter went to Ephesus, chapter 2, 1 through 8 goes to Ephesus. No, chapters 2 and 3 went to Ephesus. Chapters 2 and 3 went to Laodicea. And so every church was aware of the problem with the other. 1 Corinthians 5 and Revelation 2 and 3, it was one letter to all seven churches, about the problems in all seven churches. Now look at the example here in 1 Timothy 1. Here's communication. Thanks for that point, Art. It was to every church or every place that calls upon the name of the Lord. But 1 Timothy 1, right there at the end, brother, he communicates about two men. Read me those last two verses while I'm getting there. Chapter 1. Yep. Communication to Timothy, who is circulating among the churches, not just the church. He tells Timothy to remember his ways in all the churches in 1 Corinthians 4. And he communicates to them, Hymenaeus and Alexander have been delivered unto Satan. So we see communication to others here. In this case, to an individual. We see 1 Corinthians 1, a letter that goes to more than just one church or carries more than one church. We see the seven churches written to all seven churches. So I would say those principles, to me, speak loud and clear. I might not be able to find an exact example like I just gave you, but we see the principle there. Now, see, you don't have authority in the other church. Your hands are tied. You've done the best you could. We've seen that happen, too, where the other one ignores it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. And once you've done that and the authority rejects you there, you're pretty well finished except for prayer and individual.
But you believe we should be trying to do something.
If it's a Christian church. Now, if it's a cult or a false gospel, you might as well speak to the wall.
Right.
Yeah, but if it's a Christian church and you know that person's living in sin, you need to take it to the local congregation there. And you need to have, you got to be careful how you do it now, bro.
Right.
You got to have some evidence.
And
first, you probably go to the individual personally.
Of course.
Okay. But if it's hurting the name of Christ and you know they're breaking bread and fellowshipping in another place, that needs to be dealt with. And that they can't read minds. And maybe it's done secretly and only you know it. There is. Yeah, amen, brother. You can have other input on that. Brother Larry? Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a similarity between the local church and the worldwide? If God has fellowship with the local church, God has fellowship with the head in heaven, the worldwide church. So that's God's fellowship possible.
It should be.
Right.
But only communication will make that possible. That's what I'm saying. If you don't communicate, brother, I can travel, I can go cheat my wife, and this is a horrible example, and commit adultery, and the church deals with me, and I go down to Florida, and nobody ever tells them. Say, oh, Randy, good to see you, brother. There has to be communication, brother. Yeah. I'm not going to use that example anymore. That's a bad one. Yeah, brother. Oh, wait, there was this brother who was, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. We can't take this doctrine of autonomy so far we teach independence. There is an intercommunication of the assemblies. You see it as we've already given you the references. Intercommunication which maintains an outward unity. And absolutely. Brother Barry.
In regard to Romans 16, 1 and 2, you referred to the verse 2 that you receive and then the phrase in the Lord. You referred to that in the last session as the terms of the Lord Jesus,
mm-hmm.
His terms. Based on His terms, you receive her.
Yes.
What are those terms?
Okay, the first term you receive.
Right, we're going to get to that in the next session.
I'm not sure, so I better do it now. Probably not. So do it now, bro. Receive her in the Lord. What are those terms? Well, first of all, she's in union with Christ. She's placed faith in Christ. And obviously, she's in the body of Christ. So salvation would be the basic fundamental. You receive her in the Lord. Now, also, if her walk, as we learn from other scriptures, is contrary to the Lord, living in sin, those would be reasons not to receive her. But the basic thing here is I'm received because God has received her. I'm going to receive her. That's the foundation of receiving a person. Because God has received her, I'm going to receive her. Now, if that person is walking contrary to the Lord's reason for receiving them, then that has to be dealt with. But I believe in the Lord, receiving her in the Lord. I'm not going to receive her in the church, per se. I'm receiving her in the Lord. I'm receiving her as a saint. Saint means holy one. See, as becoming saints. So if we or she is not living as a holy one, then there's reasons not to be received. So maybe you have other things on this. But in the Lord starts with the gospel. Has to start there. and that the Lord has made her a saint. And of course, the evidence is good works and so on, and therefore I can have confidence and help the woman.
Verse 7 of chapter 15.
Yes. Okay.
Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of Christ.
Yeah. What we have to stay away from is where a person doesn't have full light. See, I can't receive you. You don't do this exactly that way. That you receive them in the Lord.
Amen.
You receive them in the Lord. Amen. All right. And then you deal with the other things later. But, of course, if there's sin, that's a whole different thing. Yeah.
Where does the clarity, then, of blurring the distinctions that you just listed so eloquently of the universal and the local church, that God adds in the local church, and so are they automatically received in the local assembly upon their profession of faith? Are they automatically in, when they say, into some local church?
Okay, his question is, are they automatically, and if the Lord's received them? Well, the local church has feet to it. And that, what I mean, you can't be in the local church unless you get to it, number one. But they're not automatically in a local church. The local church doesn't even know they exist. So they have to get to it, become identified with it, and you have to find out they're in the Lord. That takes communication again. Communication in the Lord, and with that communication you can read through a lot, and if you sense there's hypocrisy there or there's a testimony of sin, then you have to deal with those things. You can't read hearts, but you can question. So are they automatically in a local church? No, they're not automatically in a local church, but they're automatically eligible for a local church. They're automatically eligible for a local church if it's handled right, and they should be in a local church. It doesn't always happen, but they're not in a local church. It takes feet to get there. What do you think, Barry?
I'm thinking of Acts 2 and the very foundation of the first local church with regard to they that gladly received the word, the ones who were saved, the ones added to the universal church. Then you get the list that we hold so dear and we love and we base all on which we give glory to the Lord in the local assembly on what follows. They that gladly received the word were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the break and fellowship. And prayer. Are all those things optional to the professing believer with regard to local fellowship?
They're not optional, but you can't force them on them. Okay? But here's where it needs to start. And you reminded me of something as you read those verses. They look at what he just read there in verse 41, rather. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received the word, that's the gospel message that Peter preached, were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly. Many have left out the element of baptism. That is communication, identification. You say, well, okay, they've received the Lord. Are you willing to go publicly into the waters of baptism and identify with the Lord Jesus in this gospel? We've had people say no in New Jersey, and we've held off their fellowship, and 6 months later they just walked away. They walked away. That shows their heart if they won't publicly take that stand of identification and baptism. And so before they continued steadfastly in the fellowship and breaking of bread and the apostles' doctrine, etc., they were baptized. And that baptism showed the reality of their profession of receiving their, or at least to man it showed it. Because in many cultures there's a cost to being baptized. I understand in much of our church atmosphere it's, you know, it's just the kind of thing to do. But many cultures you pay a price for being baptized. And that shows some sincerity to the person. So I'm saying here in the Word of God that people will argue with it. It doesn't say you have to be baptized to get in a local church. No, it doesn't. But it does say this, that if you profess to be saved, you should be baptized. And it does teach you have to be saved to get in a local church. And if you're not willing to get baptized, I can question your salvation because you won't obey the very Lord you just confessed and identified His gospel. And I think if we put baptism where God puts it, upon the profession of being saved, that would, again, draw a line that have you been baptized, brother? Have you been? Why not? In the order in the Word of God, before we continue in the breaking of bread, there's baptism. Before that little baby in your family sits at the table, you wash him off. I had the privilege of helping deliver my daughter Mary Beth. Before she laid in bed, they called it bonding back then. She'd lay in bed between Sylvia and I for an hour, and they said that would bond her. Well, it worked. She's awful bonded today. But you know what the midwife had me do? You bathe that baby. Yeah, and then you lay her in the bed. There is the bathing, the sign here of water baptism. And then there's the continuing, brother. So I'm just saying that I think baptism in the order of which their profession, link it with salvation, and then you will have more confidence in that person to let them continue with you. Does that make sense to you, brother? Yeah, amen. That baptism will give me an awful lot of confidence in a person when they'll go in front of their unsaved family or tell their family, I'm being baptized. I got to be careful because I'm on tape. But back home, we have people who, well, you got to be careful. In the nation, there are people who break bread, and they're not baptized. And I don't know what kind of confidence you can have in that. They won't take that obedient stand with Christ. That will give me all kind of confidence in that person, and it allows communication anyway. Oh, yes. If you want to be part of this, a functioning part of this assembly, with privileges to use your gift and priesthood and to break bread, then you prove that you're saved by going out and identifying publicly with Christ. Now, baptism doesn't secure salvation. It only signifies it in the Word of God. But it's a command immediately upon being saved. So people say there's no command to get in the local church. There is a command that if you're saved, you should do it. And if you link it with salvation, then you'll be baptized for the local church, or by the time you get to the local church. So by withholding fellowship, we say you cannot use your gift here, you cannot break bread, you may come to the meeting, you may come to the Bible studies, but we're not going to consider you a part of the privileges of priesthood here until you identify with Christ. In some cases they didn't, and they proved themselves not to be saved. Now that's not to say everybody gets baptized as saved, I understand that.
Right.
Yeah. We simply told the person that you won't be involved in this assembly until you obey the Lord.
Because you said another assembly where somebody was.
Yeah. Happens all over the place. And it becomes very confusing. But here's an order God has given us. And that order will solve a whole lot of communication problems. Because guess what? When you baptize them, you're going to ask them a lot of questions. Brother Preston.
Well, it tells us that there ought to be some teaching to the new believers concerning baptism.
Absolutely.
It's an important thing.
Absolutely.
Not just let it go by and command it. He ought to understand why.
Yeah. Amen. You see, you're modern evangelists. They'll say something, and there's a grain of truth in what they say. They'll ask people to come forward to an altar. And their justification will be this, that Christ never called a person to come to him without public identification. Their formula is right, but the public identification was not coming to an altar. It was baptism, identifying with the gospel of Christ by water baptism. That's what we have to communicate, that if you trust him, you take the public stand with him. And that brings a whole lot of things out of the closet. We have found out. God has wisdom in his ways. Got 3 more minutes, and then it's 11:45. So any closing comment or question?
How far do you take, my brother listed several other things besides baptism there. He talked about the prayer following the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. There again, that's part of the list. Now, where do you, and that goes back with what our brother, Dr. Bain, was talking about, where do you, and how do you draw a line and maintain a balance, the proper balance in that? There are some who would say if there's someone here who wants to fellowship who doesn't agree wholeheartedly with all the teaching of the assembly as given by the elders, we can't accept them into fellowship. I don't personally agree with that, but how do you maintain a balance?
Philippians 3, and then we'll go to you lastly, brother. Okay, Philippians chapter 3. When they don't agree, how do we maintain a balance was the essence of the question. I think we'd have to ask, we don't agree on what? We don't agree on the person of Christ. The Scripture's clear.
No, I'm
I know you're not.
The basics are fine.
I'm
talking
yeah.
about other
I know you.
Somebody would hold it. If they
yeah.
don't agree with every teaching.
I know. I'm going to head there. I'm saying this for the benefit of the others. If you don't agree with the gospel of Christ, that's, these things, and our brother Bill understands that. But there are some things that to do to light and growth that a person's not going to see right away. And I think there, as here's what Philippians teaches. Philippians chapter 3. He's speaking of knowing Christ now, of growing in the power of his resurrection. He's speaking of development in the Christian life. And look what he says here for in verse 14, Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature or complete, be thus minded, pressing toward a prize, knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. To realize that they don't, if it's just a matter of light or not understanding, God can reveal that. But the level we're at, let us mind the things we do agree on the person, and we can have wonderful fellowship there. And where there needs to be light, let God reveal it. Don't force them under a power play. Amen. Thank you, Bill. Well, our brother here, and then our time is gone.
Would it be right to say that we should not deceive to those who are committing a moral
absolutely.
Sin, of course, and anything that touches the person of the Lord Jesus.
Absolutely.
Other than that, any other teaching should be accepted.
Well, yeah, I would just say this. Yeah, but there's many other teachings. If you examine them, they'll come right back. We better examine where that teaching is headed. Some said that the resurrection was past already. He delivered them to Satan. Now, you say you trace that back far enough, it denies the gospel. So, yes, but some teaching that looks innocent, we better investigate it and see where it's going. We had this brother right back here. I pointed to him, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not even saved. Mm-hmm. Some people want to come, so they might hear something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that coming to the meeting doesn't necessarily
know it.
But
1 Corinthians 14, an unbeliever can come to the meeting. What will involve fellowship is the use of their gift and the partaking of the break of bread. Breaking of bread, it says, is not this the fellowship, the body of Christ, and so on. That they eat of that bread. They're partaking. Partaking means fellowship. And they would be using their gifts as an input. Now, just to sit there does not constitute fellowship. Coming to the family Bible hour is not fellowship. Fellowship is the whole assembly and the things of God, those things we read. They're showing up, but they're not in fellowship. Fellowship should be they embrace the whole thing. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, that's fellowship. Using your gift to build up, giving and taking, that's fellowship. I'm embracing the whole. That's No, they wouldn't be welcome to be eaten with, no. Now, different assemblies handle that different. They're allowed to come. It says don't treat them as an enemy. Admonish them as a brother. So you got to be careful you don't over-discipline. I believe they can come, but they can't be eaten with. When it comes time to eat, they leave. And they can't partake with their gift in that. But they can sit in a seat. At least that's the way I've seen it done with very orderly results. I'll just say that much. And I'm going to get pulled out of here if I don't stop here. But thank you, brother. Yeah.